Welcome back, Flashback fans, to another Famicom Flashbacks podcast. It's me, Brandon, and I'm here with everybody's here. I'm here with M Trip.
That would be me, sir.
We got the Bit Girl.
I'm here again.
Jupiter.
Hey.
And the official Famicom Flashback cheerleader, Ashley.
Give me an F.
I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, well, she's a cheerleader in training. She's still got a lot to learn. You know, she's got black hair and multiple piercings. So, I mean, you know, she's not used to the whole cheerleading environment. But, you know, I'm hopeful, I'm positive, that someday she'll be a real cheerleader for retro gaming. Thoughts?
I like it.
No one is listening to you, by the way.
Everybody walked out of the room during the whole discussion. Okay, today we're going to be talking about reoccurring themes in some of these epic video games that we've been playing, some of these epic retro video games. We played a lot of Zelda over the past few weeks. Many of our Flashback fans know that Zelda has been a big part of this Legends theme. Recently, we've even played a little bit of Secret of Mana and the Mana series.
Great series.
Originally known as, in Japan, Legend of the Sacred Sword. Mm-hmm. Legends.
Seiken Densetsu or Suikin Densetsu, however it's pronounced.
I don't speak Japanese.
Yeah, so. He does not. I certainly don't. But yeah, Legend of the Sacred Sword.
Seiken Densetsu.
That might be a little bit more accurate.
That's right. And we're going to talk a little bit today about some of these games and the different recurring themes that we see in these games, and whether or not we'd want them to keep some of these things, if there's anything they should be throwing out, stuff they should keep. And I'm going to let Matt start, because he's really in this department. I mean, he's pretty big on the Legend of Zelda series, and he's huge into the Mana series. And I'm going to let him kind of take over on this part.
Well, I go both ways. I think it really depends for me on the series. Like, I like going into a new game and being, okay, I know who the main character is, I know basically the plot of what's going on, who I'm going up against, but at the same time, I think that's also a negative, because I like to be surprised and have kind of a fresh story as well. Right. I mean, that's what I like about the Mana series. It all takes place in the same world, just like Zelda takes place in Hyrule, and Mana takes place in the world of Mana. So you have the same goal, the Mana Sword and stuff, but the person you're going up against, like the evil, is different throughout the games. So each game is essentially different, but it has the same common element.
There's not necessarily a central villain in
exactly, the Mana series. And that's the thing that, not that I dislike about Zelda, but it's just I know I'm going to be going up against Ganon.
Yeah,
you know? and it's just
there's no real twist.
Right. I guess it's the sub-characters that kind of really create the twists and the alternate things, but the overall story, just, it doesn't really change. It's not fresh to me.
Well, there's been a couple times in the Zelda series they've strayed off the path and had other villains, but in general, fans still want Ganon, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he is the Darth Vader of the gaming world.
Yeah,
I mean,
we like our villains.
Yeah, I mean, if there was the quintessential villain of the video game world, I would say Ganon, maybe even over King Koopa. Over Bowser, because Ganon is just, he's so evil.
Yeah.
You know, he represents, you know, Bowser's very, in the Mario series, Bowser is very,
sometimes you like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a likable villain, but Ganon, there's nothing to like about him. He's the quintessential evil villain.
The thing that just bothers me, though, is that, you know, like, if it was, okay, Link, the same Link through all of them, I'd be like, okay, but it's different. It's like, okay, it's a different Link, but it's still Link. It's different Ganon, but it's still Ganon. There's nothing nothing new, you know, and I think that's what just turns me off, ultimately, I think, for the Zelda series.
Well, in the Zelda series, it's always the same Ganon. But the Link does change.
Yeah. And Zelda changes, right?
And Zelda changes, yeah.
I would say they're all kind of flat characters, and I don't mean to start any flame wars with any fans out there, but, like, Link especially, he's just the quintessential hero.
Doesn't talk at all.
There hasn't, maybe Twilight Princess a little bit had, like, a darker side to him, but for the most part, it's like,
you don't see real emotional range or anything with him. You're just like, oh, man, he's he's angrier. That it's just like,
yeah.
I'm here with my mouth open and text is popping up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that might actually work in the game's favor because really you put your own emotions into the character, you know?
Yeah.
You're not, you know, really Link is you. I mean, he doesn't talk, he doesn't do any of this stuff, he's you. So you're experiencing it as if you are the incarnation of Link in any one of the games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
You know, he's very much the Marty McFly of the... of the Legend of Zelda series, in that
I'm not following you there.
The events, the events, in a lot of ways, really kind of revolve around him. You know, like stuff happens around him. You know, Ganon has some plans to take on Zelda, all this stuff, and then Link gets thrown into that. You know, in the same sense as Marty does in Back to the Future. I mean, he's got all these other people going doing stuff, and he's kind of in the middle of this mess, and that's kind of what Link is in the Legend of Zelda series. You got me now? He also travels through time.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's what I was looking for.
Did that make it a little bit easier for you? He travels through time, is what I meant to say the whole time I was talking. But, you know, which is another reoccurring theme that I love. I think it's one of the things that has made the Legend of Zelda series, and actually is very, very good now that we have a Zelda timeline, is that time travel from very early on has been an important part since... Mm-hmm. Since, I don't know about Link's Awakening, because I haven't played that one myself, but since Link to the Past,
right,
the whole time travel, or the traveling through time and space and that type of thing has been there. And in Link to the Past, he's traveling to another world.
Link's Awakening is kind of like Majora's Mask in that it's just kind of its own story. Doesn't have like a huge impact on the whole storyline, like just its own little kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
Which is another... those two are probably my favorites, just because they are kind of their own different things.
Link's Awakening, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, there's another example where if you stray away from the original themes, fans don't always respond well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jupiter obviously enjoys Majora's Mask, but a lot of people don't, and that was a departure from a lot of what had already
that's
been
a,
done.
That's a controversial topic for Zelda fans, whether you love it or don't love it.
Yeah,
I've seen people get in some heated discussions.
And there's not even a lot of temples in that particular game, correct?
It's been a while since I played it. I mean, there's temples.
Yeah, but I seem to recall there's not as many as some of the other ones. I could be wrong.
It's almost more like an expanded Animal Crossing kind of game where you have these remedial tasks you have to take care of, and you only have a certain amount of time to take care of them all in this course of 3 days that you have to keep repeating.
Right. But again, that time travel thing comes big into play.
Yeah, I guess there is some time traveling in that every 3 days.
I was going to say, Link is definitely the Bill Murray of the Majora's Mask. Mm-hmm. That was a Groundhog's Day reference.
Got it.
Good movie.
I have no idea what his character's name is, and that's why I had to say the Bill Murray.
Oh, man. It'll come to me at some point.
I keep wanting to say Punxsutawney Phil, but I remember that's his name.
Punxsutawney Phil.
His name's Phil.
His name's Phil.
Just like the groundhog.
Whoa, nice.
Well done.
Knuckles on that.
Cheerleaders for the win.
Yeah. Very good, Ashley. See? Done. She already participated. Take one of those nose rings off now.
She can be our official Groundhog's Day fact checker. We just need to ask her and she'd probably know it.
I like it.
Okay, very good.
And what would you guys say, other than like Zelda, Link, Ganon, what would you say are your favorite themes that...
Oh, definitely Tingle.
...that reappear in the Zelda series?
That's not true. I'm glad they don't really use Tingle anymore.
I'll let Jupiter go with that.
Definitely Tingle.
No.
Well, he's shown up in... what games is he shown up in?
He's in
Majora's Mask.
He's in the Wind Waker world, right?
Correct.
And was
well, he's not in the Wind Waker. Well, he's in just Wind Waker.
Okay.
He's not in
Spirit Tracks,
or Phantom Hourglass. Unfortunately,
that's a good thing.
Unfortunately, no Tingle in that game.
What were we talking about again? Oh, recurring things we do like, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Other than like the main things, I guess, or anything like a small thing that they bring back in each game, and just like yes, that's cool.
Like
they brought that. They keep bringing that.
The use of tools, you know, like he always has like Link always has his whole array of different tools he has to do with all the tasks, and I like how each game will have something new to it.
Thank goodness they've improved upon that over the years, though, mm-hmm. because I get a little annoyed, to be honest with you, with like Ocarina of Time. Behold, the whole press start, and then you have to spin around, and there's like this whole. There's just so much, and watching Matt play through Ocarina of Time 3D, I'm like, oh my gosh, it makes so much more sense on the handheld with the dual screens.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, because it is just a pain in the butt. just spinning around that thing and just.
For the most part, do the same weapons appear in most of the Zeldas? I mean, obviously, I think the boomerang and the bow and arrow stay in the bombs, but are there any other, like...
What are they called? The Bombachus? Was that...
Bombachu, yeah. Those are the ones that kind of run around and look like Pikachu a little bit.
They're not in every single one of them, but they do show up.
Yeah.
I find on the handhelds, especially with, like, Spirit Tracks, they added some new weapons. They definitely played around. In that particular one, you have, like, a snake whip. It's like a whip with like a snake head at the end of it, and it can like you when you whip it, you can hook on to things.
Whip it good.
They can play around and change them a little bit, but you still gotta stay with the main ones. The hook shot.
Mm-hmm. So the hook shot is a I was gonna ask that.
Been around.
But was hook shot in Link to the Past?
The hook shot was in Link to the Past.
It was in the Game Boy one. So I'm assuming it was.
That's how you cross a lot of the rivers. You see like a wall log sticking out.
That's right. I was thinking that.
And he also used a lot of these tools when he fought Luke Skywalker, as we all remember.
Yeah, in the blog. That's very true.
That's what ultimately led him to his victory.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker does not have nearly the number of tools at his disposal. That
was his downfall.
Yeah. Use the Force, Luke.
I got another one. I can't even get through this. Link is definitely the MacGyver of the Zelda universe. he's the Renaissance man. You know, he can.
He's using stuff from the environment around it. I mean, he's got nuts. He's got sticks. I mean, he uses them as.
He's got nuts and sticks, man.
Wow.
Well, like I was saying though, like he's a flat character, and I don't even mean it necessarily a bad way. But you could say he's the Bruce Willis of. Or you can answer him. He's a Will Ferrell of the Zelda world.
We can just keep throwing names in.
Yeah, it works. He's flat. You can kind of throw anybody in.
Obviously, when we're talking about the weapons, obviously bow and arrow being a big deal. It even got its own game. I think it's crossbow training.
That's right.
I like the crossbow training. That was
crossbow training. Got some serious arrow archery abilities from that game. For myself, I can say.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah, that was a fun game. Talk about departure from the main series. that game was just for fun. I mean, in the end...
That came with, like, the gun, right?
Yes, that came with the Wii gun. But in the end, I mean, Legend of Zelda has made its name in the fact that it stays true to a certain format. And what they do is, for every game, they change the style. And I thought it was interesting, there was an article I read recently where they talked with one of the developers of Skyward Sword, and they asked him, you know, when are we going to see this style from Skyward Sword brought back? Because the painted, the watercolor painted backgrounds that you see in Skyward Sword is so beautiful. When are we going to see that again? And he said that we're not really planning on ever using that again. And I think that's a good idea because that's kind of the point, is that the Zelda games, in a sense, do kind of stay the same.
Yeah.
But from game to game, they drastically change the look of the game. So, and then I think it's really smart. You go from very, cel-shaded, animated look to a very dark look to a painted look. I mean, and then even sometimes the environments change, you know.
Yeah.
It can be Hyrule, it can be a darker version of Hyrule.
It's
another
still
all
recognizable, but just a different look.
Yeah, yeah. And it was funny in Skyward Sword, not to give too many spoilers, but you didn't realize how recognizable the game was until you got to the end and you start seeing the world of Hyrule kind of build, at the end. And like, I'm not going to give away how this all happens at the end of the game, but you start to see some of the landmarks of Hyrule start to build in that particular world.
Right.
It's very interesting to see Skyloft and all that kind of transform into the land of Hyrule. And definitely worth a playthrough for any Zelda fan. I've said that on podcast before.
Yeah.
It's the most recent Link, so people hate it currently, or dislike it strongly currently, and then...
When's the next one comes
eventually,
out?
Eventually people will change their minds on it.
Yeah. Prequels rule.
Prequels, well...
I think so, at least.
Prequels are cool.
I haven't
had the most success in the world. Prequels.
Sure, but I think in a long-running series like Zelda, I thought it was really cool that they, you know what, this, and now combined with Hyrule Historia, you know, that's going to be coming out. I think it was just
good timing.
We're taking you back to the beginning, and now this is going to fill in. This is the timeline.
It was good timing.
It's risky because, I mean, Zelda's been around for what, over 20 years?
Yeah.
And so you have fans have been asking for years, like, how does this all fit together?
Yeah.
So they have a prequel now that kind of starts to tell the story. And that's risky business because so many fans have so many different expectations.
I'm wondering if the Zelda games now, you're going to see a spike in price with the Historia coming out. I think people, once they see what the timelines are, they're going to want to start replaying through these to see, you know what, that's where that happened. That's why that's like that. And I wonder if you're going to see a surge in purchasing for Zelda games. I know you can get a lot of them on download, but I think people might want to have the original cartridges.
In general, the Zelda games, they don't depreciate in value, you know? They're solid games. Going into the Mana series, I mean, there's another series where, I mean, the games in general, you know, look at Secret of Mana, I mean, this is that's a hard-to-find game, at least for any inexpensive price, I mean.
Right. There's not as many as there are Zeldas, but, well, I mean, the thing with the Mana series is not all of them were released over here.
Mm.
You know, you have a couple that were Japanese released only. You got Seiken Densetsu 3. That was only for the Super Famicom.
There was a huge surge in Mana games a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Friends of Mana was...
Friends of Mana was a mobile phone release for Japan. I wish I could get my hands on some of those.
Obviously, my exposure to the Mana series is very limited. I mean, I've only played Secret.
Right.
But I've seen Final Fantasy Adventures, the original one.
Which I just got, which I'm very excited to actually go through.
And... But there are a couple of departures from the series. You know, you look at, I'm not sure, Matt, do you have either Children of Mana or Heroes of Mana?
I have Children of Mana. I do not have Heroes of Mana.
The DS Manas, the Mana series that came out for the Nintendo DS, those ones are major departures in the series in that the game's play is very different.
Yes.
You go from that action RPG role, I believe it was...
Well, the thing about, Heroes of Mana was a real-time strategy game. StarCraft,
was it really? Heroes?
So it was
Age of Empires, Tactics,
like, similar to that. It was a strategy base. Where Children of Man, instead of having an open world, it was a straight dungeon crawler.
Right.
So you had a town where you would get, and then you would go.
You said you played Children of Man.
I have the Children of Man. Yes, I've played.
That was a bit more of a grind, from what I've read.
I played Secret. I played Legend. I played Children, and I played Dawn.
Yeah, anytime you have you see something described as a dungeon crawler, you know it's going to be somewhat of a grind.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think though is the departure from the series? Is that something that could you appreciate the games?
Or? I could. I mean, that's one thing I loved about Mana is they. I mean, like Zelda, the main story is the same. You have the Mana Tree, the Mana Sword. Obviously, you use them to stop the evil that's going on, but the world itself is always very, very different, and how you go about it is very different. Some of them are open world, some of them are, you know, like we said, dungeon crawlers, real-time strategy.
Right.
So they change the overall gameplay, which I think keeps it fresh, which I really like. And the elements that they keep the same are... They're pretty subtle. I mean, they're not very... The ring system that they have, it's not in every single game, but it was a revolutionary for that time.
The ring command system. Yeah.
I mean, it was very quick to switch what you wanted, whereas other times it would bring you a whole separate screen. And in Mana, when you're playing with multiple characters, you could have, you know, multiple people playing at the same time.
Right.
It's very quick to switch what you want to find your magic.
I think that's one of the benefits of the Mana series is that they kept for a lot of it, they kept the ring command system.
Yeah.
You know, just like with Zelda, you know, you expect to have your tools at your disposal and that type of thing.
Yeah.
The ring command system essentially is when you go into your command settings for the commands, a circle will basically appear and you can kind of just swing around clockwise and
pick the items you want, click the magic.
And that's become kind of like the quintessential for the major parts of the Mana series, something that they've used. Let's look a little bit at the graphics, number one, but more so the transition from 2D to 3D. Now, obviously, you know, we most people can are reminded of Ocarina of Time switching from the 2D element to over to the 3D element, which has become most common for these Zelda games at this point. How did that transition go from you? I'll start with Max. I already know what he's going to say.
Not very well.
although you are playing Ocarina for
I am enjoying it. It's just when I play, I mean, like most of you guys, my experience was on the original on the NES, original Zelda. I know original Zelda wasn't a side scroller, but I have a very hard time going from that to 3D. I couldn't do it with Mario. I couldn't do it with Sonic. I have trouble doing it with Zelda.
Right.
It's just I couldn't do it with Castlevania. So it's just, I don't know, it's very, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It doesn't make the game
less. It is a big jump.
It's just a very big, because, I mean, you look at, I mean, you go from Link to the Past, it's a pretty simple, straightforward game, and you go, Adventures of Link to the Past, and you go to Link to the Past, view goes back to the original Zelda, so like, okay, you got that nostalgia
which
feel,
was an improvement.
But the graphics are nice, still very simple controls. And then you go into Ocarina of Time, and it's just they just throw everything at you. I mean, you have to worry about camera views. You have to worry about targeting. You have all these different buttons, and it's overwhelming. You know, at least for me it was.
And in Ocarina, fortunately, I mean, first of all, that generation, the PlayStation and Nintendo 64 generation, I mean, the camera view thing was something that we struggled
with. It didn't always work.
I think that's the main struggle I had with these games transitioning is the camera.
Well, to be fair, Ocarina of Time did it better than most games at the time, the whole camera angle thing. But it definitely was a struggle in that generation, the PlayStation, Nintendo 64 generation, to get over the whole camera angle thing. There are times when you're just like, where am I standing? Who am I trying to fight? You know?
See, like 3D games now, like I don't mind because when you're running around, you can rotate the camera as you're moving, so it's seamless. In these games, you had to move a certain direction and change it to where it just fixed. It just turned and locked on. You couldn't gradually shift it and move. Well, and jumping on ledges.
Developers control the camera angles a lot better now, too. They know exactly where the camera's supposed to be at certain times.
And as the time period was, game companies were pioneering into something brand new.
Right.
Whereas now they've learned from some of the mistakes they made in the past. I would say with Zelda, I agree with Brandon that they did do a better job than, like, just looking back at a lot of games that were pioneering into the 3D worlds, where Mario 64, of course, being the big one. But, like, some of the ones that didn't really survive, I feel like Donkey Kong Country 64 just was terrible. I had a hard time getting into, like, Mario Kart 64, but a lot of people do love that one. Earthworm Jim
Earthworm Jim didn't do it,
And it was just kind of... They had to work hard on I'm sure they were looking at each game that came out and was just like, what can we improve this with? I'd say Zelda, there was enough of like they did enough work at making it feel like the old Zelda games that I could adapt the new 3D element to it.
The other thing that you see that kind of is a negative is that, you know, just as you get to the Super Nintendo generation and they got that sprite-based animation looking so clean and pristine, you jump into the 64 generation and the PlayStation generation with the 3D, everything became almost like it was a step back as far as things looked. It was cool that it was a 3D environment, but everything was so blocky. You know, everything looked like such sharp edges and stuff. And I almost think it kind of lost it a little. Like, we almost went back a little bit in graphics, even though supposedly with the 3D world and stuff like that, it was supposed to actually be better. But just the environments themselves just seem so, especially looking back at that generation now, you know, it can be at times difficult to go back to the 64 PlayStation generation.
Would you say you have an easier time replaying the Super Nintendo RPGs that came out than the N64 PlayStation?
Absolutely.
Like Final Fantasy VII, one of my favorite games of all time. I have a hard time playing that one.
It's hard to go back and look at it.
I'd like to see that one redone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, VII I played so many times growing up, so it's not like I stopped here and now I'm playing it again here. I can't do it. So it's just I never really compared them, like, oh man, now I'm looking back and that game's just horrible. It's still beautiful to me. You know, even with the block hands, I'm just like, I don't know, there's something about that game that, I don't know, I just...
Yeah, I mean, the game...
It never feels outdated to
me. Yeah, I still love the game. It's just, it's amazing to see where it all came from and how that stuff changed, you know? Looking at... I think that was one of the benefits of the Mana series. If you look at the Mana series, it wasn't until PlayStation 2 that they started to push... Because
with Dawn of Mana?
Yeah, I mean, there was Legend of Mana that came out for the PlayStation, but they still kept a 2D graphics, yes. Mm-hmm. Which was almost kind of smart. Move. And then it wasn't until PlayStation 2, 2007, yeah. That they had their first 3D game. And at that point, I was going through and watching some videos on that particular game. That game, Bicker, what did you think that game looked like when we were watching it? That game, I thought when we were watching it, me and Bicker were sitting down watching it last night, reminded me a lot of just the look of Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
It's a fun game. The cool thing I love about that as well is if you're a fan and you're going through the series, Dawn of Mana is a prequel to it all.
Yes, that's right.
Skyward Sword.
That's right.
So you're playing it, you're just like, oh man, this is just...
It's setting up all the
stuff
for the world.
Yeah, it is. It's just, it's a beautiful game. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I think...
It makes me cry.
I think, you know, it's interesting because I've heard a lot of negatives about Legend of Mana. But I've heard a decent amount of positives about Dawn of Mana and being the first 3D. You know, I almost think for the Mana series, it was almost kind of intelligent to wait until the whole three-dimensional, you know, the developers had figured out some of the bugs and some of the things for doing 3D worlds. Because Dawn of Mana, it looks... You know, I've had limited exposure to actually playing the game, but Dawn of Mana looks beautiful.
Well, it's true. I mean, it was a good comparison. You're saying, you know, it looks like, you know, Kingdom Hearts. The gameplay and looks, it is very much like Kingdom Hearts. I mean, it's a real-time combat system, you know, and...
And it's clean. It's not blocked like the PlayStation 64 general.
Nice open world exploration. I mean, they went back to the original, ideas that they had for Mana, similar Secret of Mana, where it's an open world and you're not just going to, you know, small areas. Yeah. And that was the problem with Legend of Mana, is that it changed drastically from Secret of Mana being the next one in the series. It wasn't well received because you had an overall world map where you just... You would go travel to different locations, and that's it. You didn't actually run to the next location. So you chose where you want to go, and you're collecting artifacts. And it was not that it was bad. It was just, it was very different. But that goes along with the whole theme, you know? Like, they tried something different, so is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So it's a risk. But they went back, you know, in later years to their... original format, and I mean, like you said, Dawn of Mana was very well received.
Yeah, I think all in all, I think when we look at this stuff, it's not bad that these companies change. They just have to stay. You know, it's so much of what it is of game development is what worked, what doesn't, what can we get away with changing without fans chopping our heads off.
Right. I think also when you're going into a series, I think. It depends on how you want to write. Like, for example, Final Fantasy has never been the same. You have, you know, Cid, Watts, Big, somebody that like reoccurring characters have little flaws. But overall, the system they use and the story are always different. So it's expected.
Yeah.
But in Zelda, they've kept it the same. So I think now, if you were to change it, it wouldn't be very well received. But you know what? I'm used to this. Yeah. I don't like change. But in Final Fantasy, change is expected.
Yeah.
You know, and Mana, they've kind of gone both ways. So I think
Mana,
they could try something
Mana,
new.
Mana could get away with it more than Zelda could.
I would love it if they made Mana.
Because I don't know that Zelda can, you know, Zelda, it's going to continue to be the look of the game. I don't know how much you can really change the game without fans.
Like Spirit Tracks added trains to it, like just little things like that.
Well, I will say this, and that game, I actually really enjoyed that game. But the thing I like about the DS games, and I think they're grossly underrated, is that you kind of went back, and they did this for some of the Game Boy games, the Four Swords and stuff like that. You kind of went back to the idea of the third person, the above shot, that you received in the original Legend of Zelda, and then in Link to the Past and Link's Awakening. The handhelds have kind of kept that above shot, and I like that a lot.
I think overall, that's my favorite way to play Zelda. You know, it just feels like Zelda to me.
Yeah,
I dislike the Ocarina or Skyward Sword, like what they did, but I don't know. I like the small Link on the screen.
You're saying
I feel I can see more.
Some fan needs to remake Ocarina of Time and Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. If they remade it in Link to the Past style, I would rip my shirt off.
You know, we've been fortunate for
no one wants to see that though, so it's not gonna happen.
Just give me some time.
We've been very fortunate for a long time now with the handhelds that, despite the fact that the consoles went to that the three-dimensional feel for the Zelda games, the handhelds held on to that third-person view.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're going to see that anymore now that, like, the 3DS is now remaking games. You know, you have Ocarina of Time 3D.
Now, Majora's Mask might be remade
next. Yeah, it might be made next. So
people still do like that classic style. They're like, look at the Pokemon games.
Oh,
like,
no.
Those can't stray from that. Even when they had on those consoles, they've just been awful.
Correct. That is true. But, I wonder if that era is slowly... It would be very sad for me, but I wonder if that era is kind of slowly ending, the whole, you know, for the Zelda universe.
Well, as technology increases, they're going to want to push the boundaries of these systems.
And I get it. Why
would they want to keep it in the old school format when, you know, whether it will work or it won't, you know, I see them, you know, constantly pushing the limits.
That's one thing I like about Nintendo, though. One thing I always give props to Nintendo is they're less about pushing the technological boundaries as like Sony or Microsoft.
Yeah.
They're more about like, what are we going to do that's going to make this game more fun than the last one?
Right.
You know,
right.
And sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, especially with the Zelda series.
Yeah.
You can at least expect there's going to be something unique to it, like Skyward Sword's using the Wii Motion Plus more than...
They're always innovating, you know, that they're always trying, to make the next best thing and make it more fun and more, you know, get so the fan can get the most out of it, you know, and that's what I like about Nintendo, and I think... With the next Zelda game, I'm anxious to see how they're going to utilize the Wii U controller, because I really think it has potential to do some really
how loyal they stay to the series.
Yeah.
One thing I would say about Zelda comparing it to like Final Fantasy is that all the games I do have fun with.
Yeah.
Even if I still think I don't like, whereas like certain, not just Final Fantasy, but a lot of RPGs, sometimes it just seems like too much work to figure out how these different games
can happen,
work.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. So I guess at this point, I'd kind of be interested to hear what the fans think.
Yeah.
You know, is there things that... Have you liked the changes in some of these series? Mana series, Zelda series, even the Final Fantasy series? Do you like the changes you've seen? Or is there stuff that you guys miss? You want to let us know, contact us. And M-Trips kind of go through some of the different ways they can get a hold of us and let us know what they think about reoccurring themes and things that have changed.
Send us an email at fanbecomeflashbacks@yahoo.com. Be sure to like us on our Facebook page. Subscribe to our extremely awesome YouTube channel, which is going to be pimp this year, capital P.
It's true. We're already getting a lot of views this year.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at fanbecomeflash, and make sure to follow our blog site at fanbecomeflashbacks.wordpress.com.
And don't forget to consider checking out our Twitch TV, which we've been doing more and more of that.
Yes.
M-Trip on Twitch.
Just look up Famicom Flashbacks, all one word, and be streaming one day a week, playing game one day a week, every Saturday from 8 to 10, Eastern Standard Time, and Mondays I'll be streaming video game music all day long, so be sure to follow and tune in.
And just in case you forget those times, he will be updating the Facebook page and the Twitter to kind of let you know when he's going to be playing these awesome games.
Sign up for reminders and you won't miss any of them.
That's right. If there's a game you want me to play or anything like that, just leave us a message on any of the ways I provided.
Already did get a response. Someone wants you to play E.T.
I saw that. E.T.
That's just somebody.
That'd be a low view day.
That's just somebody. That's just someone being cruel.
There was another. It was E.T. and Castlevania 3.
That'd be fun.
That'd be much better.
I can do both.
Yeah.
I'll go through E.T.
Time.
I'll play E.T. for 5 minutes. Be like, I fell in the hole. I can't get out. Next game.
Done.
So from,
I would like to see MC Kids.
From me, the MC Kids. Jupiter, Big Girl, M-Trip, and Ashley, you still back there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
We want you guys to keep retro gaming alive.
Peace.